This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Dan Holloway's been with us the last hour, and it's a really important interview. And so I just want to note to the listeners how big this is. Because folks, you know, I don't just say something that's big unless it's really big. That you identify the company, check the guy, know who it is, or hooked in with the U.S. intelligence agencies, that you showed the government contracts, you did the backtracking, and this just completes the circuit out of the third world into the U.S. with children, with people that aren't their parents, without knowing their identity, just being disappeared. I mean, this is just... the stuff of X-Files, the stuff of you guys had the big child molester Hunter on.
Chris Hansen, yeah, last week.
Yeah. I mean, this is huge. This is the holy grail of what the Q people said, all of it, hiding in plain view.
It's very suggestive of that. I can't say what's happened to the kids after the fact, but I can't imagine it's anything good. I mean, why would it be? If people were willing to go this far and break this many laws to get these kids here and then disappear them, what else is happening?
And that's all a crime. But yeah. Remember, the Senate report found tens of thousands of kids placed with smugglers, many of which ended up in sex slavery.
Right.
That's a Senate report.
Yep, it is. And it's the thing that there's two things that really just destroy me about this. One is that the kids are being victimized and that our national sovereignty is being victimized. The other thing, there's an easy solution to all this immigration stuff. You know what you can't buy right now is a new truck or a PlayStation 5. You know why? Because China will not release semiconductors to us. We can't get processing chips. We put all of our eggs into the Chinese technological basket, which seems like a horrible idea to do, but we did it anyway.
Which is what Trump pointed out.
By the way, the largest lithium reserves in the world are in Chile, a country we have pretty good relations with, and it's just south of here. So if we were able to...
And Biden just said, we're not going to allow any of our companies to do that. We're going to buy from China.
Right, exactly, yeah. So if we were...
about bending over, it shows he's fully owned by them.
Of course. If we were able to create a pipeline for resource materials from Chile up to Nicaragua, Guatemala, Mexico, where all these illegal immigrants are coming from, build semiconductor processor plants in those countries, give those people jobs.
And solar panels.
And solar panels. Give them jobs and hope. Then none of this would even exist.
And then that would make their town so nice, we'd be retiring down there.
Like how, none of this is difficult to do. The stroke of a pen can make all this happen in about 5 years. And this would be over.
That's why the Mexican president signed on to Trump, because Trump had that plan.
Exactly, yeah. He was definitely trying to do it. And it's even Mexico is upset with how many people are coming through their borders now. Like, how
proud of Mexico now saying Trump was actually good and Biden sucks.
Yeah, I mean, it's people were upset about mean tweets. I'll tell you, who loves you? The person that coddles you while you're putting a fork into an electrical socket, or the person that slaps it out of your hand and calls you an idiot? One's nice, I guess. One's not nice, but the results speak for themselves. You don't get electrocuted when you get the fork slapped out of your hand.
Instead, the globalists are handing the child the fork.
Yeah, yeah, and teaching them how to put it in. I mean, this is unbelievable what's happening here. And again, to go back to what we were talking about before, people need to start getting involved. You got to share this stuff. You have to talk to people about it, and you have to do it in a way that they're going to receive the information. You can't insult people and give them information at the same time. They don't receive it that way.
That's right. And in 1 minute, how do you quantify this interview? Because I'm going to go write a headline for this. I'm going to feature it as an interview so it gets a million views. More of the listeners get excited about it. And we can save children. Actually sharing this with legislatures and Congress and radio hosts and others, we don't even want the credit. They can all just go do their own report on this. Right. But everybody's got to get on this.
Yeah, that's what's got to happen. The summation of all this is that because of a runaway illegal immigration situation with catch and release and all this stuff, the worst people you can imagine have decided to prey on the system and set it up so that they could traffic children, and that those trafficked children completely disappear and are outside of our realm of responsibility forever. We can't see them. We don't get any reports. The Biden administration won't talk to us about it. That's where we are right now. Children are being victimized by predators, and they've been allowed to do that by the United States.
And Biden said, as soon as I'm elected, immediately rush the border.
I didn't hear him say that, but I wouldn't be surprised.
I swear to God. Yeah, be surprised. Cue it up. In fact, in post, we're live right now. We'll add, Biden said, once I'm elected, immediately surge the border.
I just don't understand, other than some kind of victimization, what the possible reason for any of this could be.
Listen, you've never seen this clip?
No.
Word for word. I know it doesn't sound real. All right, Dan Holloway, great to have you. Good job, brother.
Thanks, man.
Thank you very much.
See you soon.
Great job. Everybody get the information out. All right, we'll be right back. I'm doing the rest of the hour. Stay with us.
I've got some really good news for the viewers and listeners of this broadcast. And then I've got some really, 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 really good news. Yes, I could spend an hour telling you about how the globalists are getting exposed and how they launched COVID-19 as a bioweapon and how much trouble Bill Gates and Fauci are in. I can even tell you about how the states are turning against the puppet President Biden and saying we're going to have $1,000 fines to try to make people wear masks. I could tell you about all of that, but why shouldn't I instead tell you about the super good news concerning the InfoWar? That's right, ladies and gentlemen. We are running right now the Memorial Day special for the next week only with store-wide free shipping, double Patriot points, and DNA Force Plus is back in stock. Sold out for 7 months, 40% off. Super Male Vitality, 50% off. Prostaguard, 40% off. Alpha Power, 50%. Ultra 12, 50%. Dazzle, 50%. Free shipping and Patriot points, and it's posting at 4, and it's incredible products, and George Soros hates it. Ha-ha!
News, analysis, reports. It's the Alex Jones Show.
Sweet dreams are made of these. Who am I to disagree? I travel the world and the seven seas.
When you are overthrowing a government, the local police are obviously going to be a problem. After the Bolshevik Revolution, a secret police force was created to purge the public of any political opposition. After Hitler came to power, the Nazification of local police departments took only 3 years, leaving a fully centralized police force under the control of SS leader Heinrich Himmler by 1936. In Venezuela, Maduro created a paramilitary force and employs non-state actors to fight against citizen patriots. It's an obvious priority when you plan on overthrowing a country and eliminating people's constitutional rights, then you have to deal with the police who have sworn an oath to protect those rights. And we are now witnessing this in America. In Austin, Texas, Mayor Steve Adler came to power as one of the biggest landowners of Austin and spends most of his time perched above the city in the tallest penthouse, which is fitting. Adler does not act according to the will of the people, but rather as their king. When asked by Vice if he regretted ending the camping ban, which has unquestionably brought thousands of dangerous transients from all over the country into the once safe streets of Austin, he proudly admits to forcing his own disruptive agenda upon the people of Austin.
Was it a mistake to lift the ban?
It was absolutely not a mistake to lift the ban. I think that sometimes you really need disruptive action if you're trying to make change.
He arrogantly goes on to say that if the people vote to reinstate the camping ban, which has since happened, that nothing will change.
So I'm concerned about it passing and creating an expectation in some parts of our community that somehow or another that these people will at that point disappear, because they won't.
Some of these so-called homeless people are camping outside Austin City Hall, where they openly brag about going to war with the police.
If it's a war they want, it's a war they go get.
BLM supporter and Travis County DA Trudy Strasburger recently posted a job ad looking for a heavy hitter who is looking to prosecute police officers. Austin City Council has brazenly decided to defund the police by $150 million. This, along with having the streets filled with desperate transients, has naturally resulted in a sharp increase of violent crimes, robberies, and murders. Adler even joked with Joe Rogan how he succeeded at slowing Austin's growth by importing crime.
You know, but as I explained to people, there's only one way to really stop a city from growing.
Bring in crime.
Bring in crime. Make it an undesirable place to live.
Order out of chaos. This is the job of Adler and his radical city council. Destroy Texas from within. And it's working. Our election system has been subverted, and the population so brainwashed that Texans will likely elect Hollywood movie star Matthew McConaughey to be their next governor. proving once and for all that Texas is finished. If you don't think they can turn Texas into California, just give it a few years. The enemy's resolve seems to be far greater than our own. When radical local governments ignore the will of the people, and the people no longer have a vote, then the only hope for survival is to stand up against them.
That report is exploding right now at band.video. Will Texas resist the communist takeover? Freeworldnews.tv. Freeworldnews.tv is the URL that is the new URL that's not being blocked by Twitter, Facebook, and other criminal operations at this point. Okay, we've got some bad news. Yes, there's thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people murdered, mainly women and children, by Mexican cartels every year on the Mexican side of the border because they didn't pay full price for the coyotes. That's the smugglers. We talk about coyotes, they think we're talking about the smaller breed of wolf. No, we're talking about smugglers. But this is breaking. NBC News, transit employees among nine dead in shooting at San Jose rail yard. A public transit employee opened fire, so it's going postal, on co-workers at a Northern California rail yard Wednesday, killing more than half a dozen people before taking his own life. Calls of shots fired at about 6:34 a.m. on Younger Avenue in downtown San Jose, drawing a large law enforcement response. This went on hours ago, but now we have the number that it's nine dead. This was unfolding as the broadcast began. Or a little bit shorter thereafter, but now we know the number, nine dead. We hope, pray for those that are wounded and for the families of those that have lost loved ones. But here's the issue. We've got 200,000 dead in Mexico in the last decade from the fake drug war. They have a total gun ban there. If you talk about everybody killed in mass shootings in the last 20 years, it's not even 3,000 people. On average, you've got about 65 children a year shot in schools, most of us gang related, is still too much. You've got a couple hundred people, on average about 245. I've had Professor Lott, one of the top statisticians in the world, on about this. You can look it up yourself. But below 300 people killed in mass shootings every year. What you would call a senseless mass shooting. Chicago has over 2,000 shootings, though, that are gang on gang. So, that's the bottom line. And there's the headline, LA Times. There's only one gun store in all of Mexico, so why is gun violence soaring? Because people know that there's no way to protect themselves. The law is a fraud, so it becomes totally lawless. The social contract has been broken. And so the statistics are clear. Shootings and mass shootings peaked in about 1989. They began to drop in 1993. They dropped to all-time lows until 2015 or so. And since then, they have been steadily rising. But if you look at the graph, it's still way lower. The shootings overall dropped by half from 1992 until 2015 or so. There's a lot of reasons this happened, but the media hyping up mass shootings is what psychologists and others believe is causing it, because it's always an incel person that hates girls that does it in schools, always. Or it's a smaller number, gang-related, and they'll just call it a mass shooting, but it's like, you know, one guy shoots five gang members. Still not good, but it's at least drug-related. You know, they're men fighting men. They're just in school, but acting like adults, acting like criminals. And then you've got, on top of that, all the suicides and the rest of it. And there are a lot of deaths, over 10,000 a year, using guns for suicide. But if you add it all together, guns are used way more often in defense of life than they're used to take life. But you have the incels that are out killing people, guys that are mad at girls because the girls don't like them because they're creepy and we're never taught any type of basic confidence and no rites of passage. And then you've got the other big one that is workplace shootings going postal. And so incel and workplace gun postal is the main thing that's happening here. And it is evil in society, it is corruption, and it is people who are mad at somebody And so they decide to go take those people's lives and then kill themselves. It's similar to suicide by cop, where somebody pulls a gun on the cop, so the cop shoots them. But it's much worse than that. You're not just endangering a police officer's life and getting yourself killed by them because you're too cowardly to do it. Now you're going and killing a bunch of innocent people. Is this who they're saying the shooter is? Or what is this? Pardon me? That's a Virginia Tech shooter. That's what I thought, yeah. So this just goes on and on and on. Radio listeners have to remember that I am doing a TV show at the same time, so sometimes you'll hear me ask, what is this, what is that? And that's because we're also on television. All right. We've got a special guest in studio with us who told us her story a few months ago. We looked into it, and we said, if you're ever in Austin, you ought to pop by our studios and tell it. She's an award-winning reporter. And if you want to know what's been going on in local TV news and the type of political correctness and brainwashing going on, if you want to know about it, you're about to find out straight ahead with Christy Lee. Stay with us.
Join me, George Norrie, for Contact in the Desert Worldwide Virtual UFO Conference, June 25th to the 28th. Contact in the Desert will be an epic weekend of exploration into UFOs, ancient alien civilizations, consciousness, AI, crop circles, and cutting-edge science. More than 130 presentations, 67 speakers, and 2 extra weeks to view our extraordinary lineup. Get your tickets today at contactinthedesert.com. It's time to make contact. Contactinthedesert.com.
It's been tough talking to my doctor about constipation with belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. I finally laid all my symptoms out there and how they keep coming back. She said I may have irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C. We agreed it's time to try something different.
Linzess, or linaclotide, is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. Linzess works differently than laxatives. It lets you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually. Do not give Linzess to children less than 6, and it should not be given to children 6 to less than 18. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. There could be more to your story with IBS-C. Visit a doctor in person or online. Say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS. Sponsored by Abbey and Ironwood Pharmaceuticals.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Well, we just had Dan Holloway, who used to be in Army Special Forces and a lot of really secretive areas. The job it was to hunt down terrorists. Well, he went and hunted down who is completing the smuggling of the children into the U.S. and had their information ran and found out who they were. Just himself. We just exposed it here. That was major. We've got kind of another whistleblower in studio with us. We heard about her story and talked to her months ago. Said if you're ever in town with your family or a fiance, you know, please come on air. And, well, she's here, Christy Lee, ChristyLeeTV.com. She's an award-winning TV journalist, Emmy-nominated, multiple first-place awards from Associated Press, Best Anchor and Best Enterprise Reporting, an Outstanding Broadcasting a Student Award back when she was in school many years ago. I'm not going to go over her long bio. But the experiences that she's had, the way media has changed just in the last few years, and even what she's been told, I don't know if you want to go that far because of the evil color of your skin, but I mean, just to get an idea of the revolution in the military, law enforcement, media, it is intense, it's corporate-driven, and it's an endgame. And it's not to empower brown people, it's not to empower women, it's to empower somebody else. So, Christy, it's great to have you here with us.
Great to be here. Thank you.
Well, I mean, you got the floor. I'll run on because I've talked to you a lot and, you know, off air. I want people to hear your story. It's pretty amazing.
Well, obviously, it's taken me a long time to get to this point to want to share my story, because when you build a career that you love and are passionate about and have done for so long, to get to a point where you need to almost like feel like a rebel for standing up for journalistic integrity, it's difficult to get to that point where you feel comfortable doing it. Knowing, I mean, I'm appropriately wearing red because I know that after I do this, I'm going to have a big target on my back, you know, from other journalists just for calling out what I've observed. So it really was over the past year that I mostly came to this realization that journalism had changed dramatically. And
you're breaking your silence now. I should have pointed out.
This is my first time totally breaking the silence. Yeah. Yes.
Go ahead.
Okay, so over the past year, definitely different than what I learned in school, and it's just astonishing and shocking, really, that it's gotten to this point. I've been a main evening news anchor for nearly 10 years now. Went to school and learned one form of journalism, and then really this past year, it was something different that was unrecognizable to me. When I was in school, I learned we deliver information. We tell the story from our sources. We don't take a position. We don't take authority of information. We're just the messenger. We're just supposed to be the messenger. Well, that was not the case this past year. I was arguing with former colleagues. Really, the turning point for me was what happened with the frontline doctors. I was so shocked that there was this censorship and that these former colleagues that I worked with were cheering it on. I'm like, guys, we're journalists.
Take your time. We've got time because it's in front. The breaking point was covering up what doctors are really saying. That was the last straw. Just like these Facebook whistleblowers are high level. They've given the documents to Project Veritas where they're told it's the truthful stuff we want stopped of doctors. We don't care if it's true. You cover it up. I mean, this is criminal.
It's crazy, and it goes against, I believe, the tenets of journalism, which is to deliver the message. So here we were cheering on delivering one side and not the other. I mean, they're doctors. They were having success with their patients. Journalists are supposed to be storytellers.
So start at the beginning. This is amazing. So your breaking point, and then we'll go back into the stuff that led to that, but the breaking point, the medical information.
That was the breaking point for me, especially with my personal doctor in California when I had a personal Zoom appointment with him, I just asked him, frankly, you know, like, well, how have you been approaching COVID-19? And he's like, oh, hydroxychloroquine. And I was like, wow, and you're not getting pushback from that, you know? And he's like, no, I've used it for so long and for different things, you know, and my patients are better the next day. And so this is my own personal experience with my own personal doctor who is saying that he was using it. And so the fact that it was being just shut down and doctors were not allowed to talk about it. And then you see months later, the redemption of the fact that the Lancet article, the New England Journal of Medicine all had to do retractions. The Facebook Oversight Board Committee had to do a retraction on this drug that other journalists were cheering on, like, no, that's misinformation, you know. And so that is what's frustrating, is we're not supposed to be taking a position. Well, how about we just deliver what these doctors are saying? Some other doctors disagree.
The only one, the majority, we probably had 50 of them on. I mean, the heads of hospitals are like, this is 100%, or inhalable steroids, 100% within hours better. And they told them, don't innovate them. It kills them with COVID. So they innovate. And I mean, this is evil.
And so I guess what I also find relatable is the fact that these doctors, some are just too afraid to speak. I've been afraid to speak up too much because I'm throwing away, essentially, a career that I've been passionate about and worked so hard to get.
Well, talk about your courage. This is true. Before you came on today, it was your idea. You said, you know, I'm taking the plunge here. They'll never hire me in the system again. But you said, I want to do it. Let's do it. I didn't push you to do it. But doesn't it feel good to be getting this out now?
I mean, it feels good to be honest. I'm just telling my story. I'm being authentic, which I think is what you want from a journalist, is authentic, someone that's being authentic, someone that's being honest. And is
they tried to suppress you with a medical doctor who was your doctor telling people he had a great response with hydroxychloroquine, and they were trying to hide a therapeutic so they could do an unauthorized experimental drug called a vaccine. They couldn't say there were any real therapeutics, or they couldn't get emergency authorization. This is big pharma raping us.
Well, over the past year, aside from that, in general, my co-anchor and I were like-minded in the sense of just journalistic integrity. We were working overtime to just take out all of these adjectives. There were so many adjectives. For example, one case was, and these are stories that would come down for national news. Being from local news, I think that's your best shot at getting some fair, honest, and local reporting. But we do still get information that comes down from national. And one thing that we saw with that, for example, is President Trump falsely claims without evidence that there was election interference. So now we have three qualifiers all in one sentence, falsely claims and without evidence to qualify this statement. When
but they weren't giving you evidence he was false.
Well, just beyond that, the proper way to do this would have been President Trump says there was election interference. Democrats and election officials disagree and say there was not. Period.
That would be reporting. That
would be the appropriate journalism I was taught. We were told in school, avoid using the word claims or refutes or things like that. They're like, say says as much as you need to, because says doesn't have any undertone. Well, not this past year. Everything was claimed.
So you were trained to not have bias and just report. There's a controversy. He's challenging. They say he's wrong. That's real reporting. But instead, it was he's full of crap. You've now been turned into an engine that's just supposed to repeat what you're told.
Right. And so I was just feeling very uncomfortable. There was obviously so much division, so much hardship that everyone felt over the past year. And I was feeling complicit in it. And obviously don't want to feel like that. I don't want to feel like a propaganda puppet. If you study what propaganda is, it's easy to spot. And so I want to empower now. My hope is to empower audiences to spot propaganda, know what real journalism is supposed to be, so that when you see the fake stuff, you'll be able to spot it and know it, that you're being gaslit or you're getting propaganda.
Well, I'm just excited to know that you were telling me you're about to start your own podcast and launch a bunch of stuff. And I just can't wait to see what you're doing, because you're smart, you're dynamic, and we need more people that have been in mainstream media now that it's gone completely corrupt. So I just say start your own thing. And I predict it's going to get big.
Well, thank you for that vote of confidence. But more than that, I'm going to feel better about it. I'm not just.
We got to go to break. I want to come back and talk about the other colleagues cheering on the censorship when we come back.
Got it.
You know, I'm cutting an ad right now.
and I've been here on the Saturday cutting these. I've done a terrible job because I just cut like 5 ads and I didn't tell people the most important part. No, it's not that DNA Force Plus has been sold out for 7 months and is back in stock and is 40% off, or how the supply chain broke down and how it almost bankrupted us, but thank God it finally came in. Or how it cleans up your mitochondria and makes your telomeres last longer and can regrow nerves. You've got to go research DNA Force Plus. No, it's not that. The reason I just cut all those ads and forgot the most important point. The Supernova Vitality's back in stock, 50% off. The ProstaGuard's back, 40% off. The Alpha Power's back, 50% off. The Ultra 12, vitamin B12, taken out of the tongue, it's incredible, is back, also 50% off. Or VasoBeats, back 50% off. No, it's that. We've got double Patriot points and free shipping store-wide. Double Patriot points, free shipping store-wide on top of these huge sales.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who've helped people that have been injured or wronged. Have you been diagnosed with cancer? Are you one of the millions who have taken Zantac or other generic versions of this popular drug to help treat stomach issues? Then pay close attention to this message. The FDA said it detected low levels of a probable cancer-causing chemical known as NDMA in Zantac and other generic forms of this popular drug. They've banned sales and even removed it from the market. If you've been diagnosed with cancer and you've taken Zantac or a generic equivalent, call the legal helpline now. You could receive a free cash award and have your medical expenses covered. And there's no upfront cost to you. They only get paid if you win. So please call now. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. That's 800-998-7173.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
Receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. We've got Christy Lee here, ChristyLeeTV.com, and this is her whistleblowing about experiencing working in the Midwest, working in California, other areas, just the change in journalism, where we know the national pundits like Chris Matthews back in the time, or then would have their views, or Rachel Maddow, or even Tucker Carlson. Tucker Carlson was always honest about that. Now it's all just at the local news is the most anti-American, anti-family, anti-gun,
pro-abortion, on and on and on. And so you're spilling your guts here. It's very interesting. Get into what you were telling me about the colleagues cheering the censorship of the truth about treatments for COVID-19, and then just all those other amazing stories of what was happening behind the scenes and how the left was bullying people.
I was just shocked, really. That was the turning point for me when I spoke out against, like, wait, why are these doctors being censored? Why are they being taken off of Facebook? Why are they being mocked by what are supposed to be impartial journalists just delivering information? I think that's the key here, is that we now have a new definition of journalism that some of my colleagues are following. It's this position of authority that we get to be the gateway to truth and we get to define it for you, our audience. Well, that's not the journalism that I learned. The journalism I learned is that we're just simply delivering information. We're supposed to be doing it from both sides, and we're not the gateway of truth. We respect our audience enough to let them decide what the truth is. So that is the frustrating thing that was for me over this past year, is just dealing with especially this new crop of journalists that just have a different definition of what it's supposed to be. They call it advocacy journalism, which really just means activism journalism. And we're not supposed to be taking a position. If you're supposed to be being a true journalist, respect your audience, give them all the information, let them evaluate the information and decide the truth for themselves. What's funny is actually there's a quote from 2014. It says, we have to uphold a free press and a freedom of speech because in the end, lies and misinformation are no match for the truth. Who do you think said that?
Obama.
Barack Obama said that. Do you think that he would still feel that way?
No, and what he meant was, we're in charge, we're in control, we dominate. So he was calling his lies the truth.
Right.
Claiming he supported journalism, when in truth, he waged war on journalists more than any president since Lincoln.
Absolutely, and that's the thing is, like, President Trump, I know that he is not liked by a lot of journalists because he has perpetuated this concept of fake news and been insulting. But when you really truly look at the presidents and what they've done, Barack Obama was the one that truly attacked it with the Espionage Act and everything like that. But when you read a quote like that, when you have that tail end of that quote saying misinformation and lies are no match for the truth, well, then I take it to mean, well, then you allow different points of view out there. And if the misinformation and lies are no match for the truth, then it won't be. But when you try and censor information in the interest of calling it misinformation, well, then you only perpetuate the questioning of, you know, well why is this being censored?
Tell us some of those stories you told me, because they're amazing.
Well, I mean, for one, I thankfully worked with a like-minded co-anchor as far as just wanting to do journalism with integrity, to take out all the unnecessary adjectives, to deliver both sides, to not have selective sources, but all sources. And we almost were working overtime as these stories came down from National with all of these adjectives thrown in, a position taken, and we were just trying to neutralize it. Not take a position, but neutralize it. And day to day, as an evening news team you would expect to do, we would be talking about the latest developments, particularly in the Trump lawsuits, etc. And we would just be on a day-to-day updating. And apparently, you know, someone had reported the evening news team for talking too much about politics in the newsroom. And we were just shocked.
It's like, I'm reporting you for swimming in the swimming pool.
I'm like, we simply can't not talk about politics in the newsroom. We're in evening
news. Well, that shows the left. They want to silence everybody and then dump their bullies.
Mm-hmm. So as far as where I'm at, I had been wrestling with this. I had not been feeling comfortable. It had just changed so shockingly and dramatically over the past year, along with everything else going on. And I'd been praying to God, like, I don't know what to do. I love what I do. I'm passionate about journalism and telling people stories, but this just doesn't feel right anymore. And God answered me in the most interesting and unlikely way. I got laid off after just a year. I got a call and they said, we're laying off hundreds of people across the country because of the pandemic, and you're one of them. Made sense. I'd only been in California 1 year at that point, so it was the newest hire, and being an evening anchor, I'm assuming one of the higher paid. So nothing I took personally, but God made that decision for me. I've been at that crossroads and soul searching for the past couple months, and I've just decided I can't do journalism like that anymore. I have to do it in a way that I can feel good about. And have honesty and integrity, and the former foundational definition of journalism.
Well, I mean, your story is amazing, and I've read over your notes, and you told me some of the other stories. Let's get back to them celebrating censorship. You were saying celebrating the blocking of admitted cures for COVID-19, miraculous stuff. They failed suppressing it, but you witnessed it when they were trying to do this.
Yeah, like I said, it was just very shocking and appalling to me. I was just shocked that there were journalists that I'd worked with in the past that were cheering this censorship on. I'm like, we're journalists. We're for the First Amendment. We're for freedom of the press. How can any true journalist be cheering this on? And what I think that we've seen is, for me, that was the turning point with the frontline doctors, but we're seeing it more and more. The frontline doctor situation ends up being validated that should never have been censored, because the Lancet, the New England Journal of Medicine, the Facebook Oversight Board, they all had to retract and overturn.
Just like they're having to retract that we were all wrong about the Wuhan lab.
Exactly.
Origin.
So we're just seeing more evidence of people are having to eat humble pie because they took a position. You shouldn't have taken a position. You should have said, you could have said the majority of doctors are not.
But that wasn't even true. The majority, right. I mean, that's the thing is, big techs merged with big pharma, and they got a directive, and they said only the UN can say what you can do. So that literally, the UN was put in charge of what doctors could say on Facebook?
Well, I think that it also is a theme that I noticed this year is just the gross generalizations. You know, suddenly I was reading from a teleprompter, experts say, doctors say, health advisors say. Who are these
instead
health
of actually
advisors?
Having, like, here's,
who is
that's
expert?
Very newsworthy, by the way. Were you calling your doctor just to get background research or maybe get him on there? Like, here's my doctor. I trust him. Here's what he says. I mean, that sounds like really good journalism is on the ground.
But the thing is like, it, since they've demonized it so much, even if I had asked my doctor who was using it and finding success, what doctor's going to want to go on and admit what they're doing anymore?
Sure. Well, you're a journalist because you just go off what you see and then what, you know, what's currently happening instead of punditry or analysis. But I think punditry and analysis is great if you back it up. Exactly. Don't just say experts say. I'd say, here's the former chief scientist at Pfizer. He put out a giant report, an emergency filing to the EU with the top scientist in the EU advisory board warning of these unproven genetic therapies. And then I go, here's the document that's posted here. People say, oh, Jones is, you know, fake news. I mean, I'm just showing you what top scientists said. But see, they'll just say, oh, experts say it's all fine, no problem. Well, actually, the experts aren't saying that.
Well, there's a word for that. It's called attribution, which used to be a tenet of journalism, naming your sources, being specific about it. But instead, all of a sudden, we have these gross generalizations. Experts say, health advisors say.
Well, that's where I've got in trouble, because I've done a few things over the years that weren't accurate. And I was a pundit, but I was still held to the highest journalistic standards, where I covered what somebody else was saying. Then the media cuts it down and says that I was officially saying that. But still, I've learned to not eat, you know, to be very clear about what
very
I'm saying.
Very specific. There's nothing wrong with being very specific about who your sources are, what the documents are. But now that we're having this new age of journalism, it's just suddenly fine to just have these.
Well, exactly. The left now says, oh, we're not going to show you any of our proof. They never have attribution hardly in articles now. We do that. And so that's what you got to look for. Who's giving you attribution? Who's giving you sources and who isn't?
I feel like what I'm seeing is more of an arrogant approach to journalism, where they feel like they can have idealism over impartiality. I mean, that's the pushback I get.
All right, Chrissy Lee, stay there. I'm just blown away by your story, and there's so much more to cover. Final segment, and then the War Room with the one and only Owen Schroyer, 3 to 6 p.m. right here on the vaunted, dreaded InfoWars Network.
We know the global elites, the 1%, have hijacked and subverted the U.S. culture, economy, and government. The battle to take back America begins with Arise USA, the Resurrection Tour. Thousands of patriots are on the march to Little Rock, Shreveport, and three stops in Texas, plus many other stops on the Arise USA Tour. 50 states, 84 stops, 111 days. The Arise USA Tour will unite the 99% of we the people that stand against the 1% globalist elites and their tyranny. The tour is free with hundreds of speakers and freedom fighters, including former CIA spy Robert David Steele, Urban Global Health Alliance Kevin Jenkins, sixth generation farmer Trent Luce, human rights advocate Sasha Stone, and many more. For tour info and a list of speakers, go to AriseUSA.com. Join the thousands that have donated over $1 million to Arise USA Tour. To donate or for the tour stop nearest you, go to AriseUSA.com. That's AriseUSA.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com. And an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus doesn't grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A, .com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Chrissy Lee's our guest. She is a whistleblowing reporter. Works in the Midwest, worked in California, and won a lot of awards, AP, you name it. And she just saw the total transformation to regurgitating propaganda over and over and over again. Where do you expect all this to go now? Because it hasn't helped the mainstream media. It's actually made their ratings go down even more. I mean, if the propaganda before was a little more camouflaged, I think the overtness is going to backfire, because I've never camouflaged that we're promoting freedom in America and everything. We make mistakes sometimes, but we mean well. We've changed history. These guys try to act like they don't have an agenda when they do have an agenda.
Well, I mean, that's why I'm taking the leap of faith that I am, knowing that it's not going to make me too many friends necessarily and could take me in a totally different direction. But I think that I've just thought about this long enough to see the writing on the wall. This industry can't survive like this. It can't continue to be trusted, and people can't continue to want to tune into something that they can't trust. And it's just so glaringly obvious that there's journalists that are taking hard positions, not providing sources or selective sources. And so I see the future of news, of TV news, essentially just dying. And I'm at the point where I'm like, well, I know I'm taking a huge risk here, but I'm going to get out now because I think that ship is sinking if something big doesn't change.
What do you, you got so many stories from behind the scenes. What else do you want to impart to the audience about what's going on in these newsrooms? Because the system knows that national news isn't trusted anymore. So people do trust local news more because they still think, oh, that's my local news. They don't know more and more of these packages are sent down that you just read off a teleprompter and put it to the video. So it's their words in your mouth.
Well, that's what I hope that I can, the part I can play is taking viewers behind the curtain a little bit and understanding how news functions. Local news, I will still defend as your best shot at getting true, honest journalism because these people live in the community. And but the thing is for local news, you still get your packages and sources that you run in like the national news blocks or with the company or the corporation that owns the local news station. So what I'm hoping to do is take people behind the curtain, also to identify a journalist you can trust against this new wave of journalism, which, like I said before, I was getting pushback when I would have these debates of calling out like, hey, we're supposed to be for freedom of speech and freedom of the press. And when I would get the pushback, I would say, basically the pushback would be, well, but what about morals? And these are my ideals. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what we think. You can't have idealism over integrity and impartiality in journalism. And that's what we're seeing.
And that's how they're able to create all these montages where it'll show 20 different, 30 different newscasts all saying the exact same thing at the exact same time, like it's the board.
And the thing is if you're a good anchor, then you will change like your anchor intro or your anchor tag. You have control over that. And that's what I was doing this past year is I was changing at least my introduction or my tag to these stories to try and find and list the sources or take out these extra adjectives and just neutralize it.
And then maybe you weren't let go just because of COVID. Maybe you were let go because you weren't toeing the line.
I don't think that that's the case. I honestly don't. But I mean, either way, I'm here. It's, I think, where God wanted me to be. I couldn't be in that situation anymore, feeling a part of the division and anger that everybody and unrest and confusion that everyone was feeling over this past year. I didn't want to feel complicit in that anymore.
Talking about colleagues that have been drinking the Kool-Aid of the wokeness, What is their mindset? Are they getting more extreme? Or what's, 'cause it seems like when you see leftist pundits and leftists online, they seem to be just getting crazier and crazier.
I absolutely think that. I mean, I had strong relationships and thought I was on the same page with people I've worked with in the past. And some of them I still am. I don't want to say it's like I'm against everyone. But the ones that have taken this more position of what I call arrogant journalism, I mean, they're so all in on it. You know, I'm willing to say it doesn't matter what I think as a journalist. How many other journalists are willing to say it doesn't matter what I think? That's how it should be. You're just supposed to be the person delivering the message. But they feel like they can take some moral high ground or have idealism lead what they're saying. And so then they've taken the position of authority.
But really, they're just spewing corporate propaganda. I mean, the left acts like they're so woke, and they're the mouthpiece for Apple that runs the worst death camps. Literally, their factories that they get components from have the Uyghurs in concentration camps. And you see, and you tell the left that, they just laugh at you. They don't care. It's like, but then they'll tell you they have the moral high ground, though.
Absolutely. But I think it comes down to respect. We as journalists are supposed to work for the people and for the community and be transparent and respect our audience.
But have you thought, though, I mean, when you say you're going to probably do a podcast or a new show about being a reporter some of the time, but also being a pundit and giving your opinion? Because that's, I mean, that's what it all is anyways now. Instead of, you know, hiding it like they do, just come out with your own views.
I will say that God's in the driver's seat and I'm just pushing the pedal. So I don't know where he's going to steer me directly. The purpose I feel right now is exposing that news is threatening to become propaganda or is already. I don't want to be a propaganda puppet. I want to deconstruct news. I want to teach people to identify true news as opposed to propaganda.
Well, that's beautiful. And what you're saying is so true. If we all have integrity and don't support systems that lie to us and speak the truth and tell the truth, we'll build our own ecosystems like America was to a great extent, never perfect. It's when we all sell out and conform, then we think we're getting money to be part of the system and, you know, we're just compromising. You can't compromise because they never compromise with us. It's more, 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 and then it destroys society.
And as a journalist, I love words, right? And I think that we're also in a society standard right now where when we're having the intense arguments with each other and disagreeing, it's because we have different definitions of words. I think that from now on, when we have these discussions, you almost have to define the word before you can have the discussion. But that's what I want to do. I want to encourage discourse, discussion, definitely not censorship and shutting ideas down.
Here's a great report I think you ought to do once you start your show. Look at this. This is a screenshot from before April 2020 and the whole COVID global government takeover. Here's after April 2020. This is officially from Webster Dictionary Online with the whole audio player, everything. And it says, definition of vaccine, a preparation of killed microorganisms, living attenuated organisms, or living fully virulent organisms that is administered to produce an artificially increased immunity to a particular disease. That is learned immunity. That is vaccines for 500 years, going back to smallpox and the toothpick, you know, putting some of the cow pus into your arm so that when you know, get it later, you don't die. Here it is. After a preparation that is administered as by injection to stimulate the body's immune response against a specific infectious disease. And that could be anything, because it's gene editing. An allergic preparation or a typically inactivated or attenuated, see attenuated since too, pathogenic agent such as bacterium or virus or one of its components or products such as a protein or toxin. A preparation of genetic material such as a strain of synthesized messenger. I mean, it's so this is not what you always do as a vaccine now. They're just playing word games, and that's important.
It is important, and I think that there's many other examples of that. And I think when they change the definition of words, it's also to handicap us from having the argument like, wait, no, that's not what it means anymore. You know, so then we can't have a true, honest argument because we have two different definitions of words.
Well, that's right. We now have the new head of the ATF about to be confirmed, saying he calls all semi-automatic assault rifles, so he wants them banned. And that's all how they define things.
It's happening with many other words and other topics.
Well, listen, I'm really glad that when we, you know, while we're talking to you and you were telling us the story off record that you came on air. I didn't even know that when you came to visit us you were going to do that. So I'm glad that spontaneously you've done this, and I hope you feel good about it. I hope people appreciate what you've done, because so many other people live in fear, but what you've done, it will help others break out of fear. And you've seen all these Facebook insiders and others coming out, how they've been told to lie and told to go along with this and, quote, hide the truth. And so I think that's going to be the system's real problem, is when doctors and real journalists and others just say, this has gone too far.
Well, I was raised with my father saying, feel the fear and do it anyway. So today I've felt the fear. I've done it anyway. And I stand on God's truth that God does not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and self-discipline.
Absolutely. A victory. All right. Well, Christy Lee, L-E-I-G-H, ChristyLeeTV.com. Same on Twitter and YouTube. If they don't take that down because you dare tell people what's happening behind the curtain. Great to have you visit us.
Thank you.
All right, very, very exciting. Well, that's it for this transmission. Owen Schroyer, in 2 minutes on the feeds, the satellites, hopefully your local radio stations, TV stations, is coming up with a war room. He's got a lot to cover today. Highlights of last night's debate with Robert Barnes, Mick Fuentes, and more, a lot more, on the war room coming up. Great job to the crew and all our great listeners. I'll see you back, Lord willing, tomorrow, 11 a.m. Central.
We are GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. We've got listeners, lots of them. Around the world, around the clock, our listeners do what listeners do. They listen. And you know what listeners got? Needs. Needs for your products, your services, and money to buy those needs. With our network of over 1,000 radio stations, streaming on the web, and our satellite transmissions, we're reaching our listeners with quality conservative programming. But there's something our listeners don't have. Your offer to meet their needs. Any business needs buyers. But if our listeners don't hear your message, they're still going to buy what they need. Just not from your business. So let's fix this. Tell us about your business. Then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message for our GCN listeners. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email. Advertise at GCNlive.com.